From the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network, it's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. Another weekend here in the Great Lakes State. I'm Duran Martinez, your host. Find us all over the place. WildMichiganRadio.com is our website. You can pick up the podcast there absolutely free, 24-7. You can listen to the show, or if you're listening on our affiliates all over the Great Lakes State, as always, we appreciate that as well. Being brought to you in part by our friends at Darton Archery, and we're going to kick off the show with Ted Harpum here in just a couple of seconds. But coming up here in a couple of weeks, Woods and Water Weekend is coming. I know already. September 11th through the 13th in Imlay City, we're going to be there. Again, it's going to be a great few days there. We're going to be talking to Randy Jorgensen here over the next couple of weeks to find out what's new at the Woods and Water Weekend, but we look forward to seeing everybody out there. It's going to be a great time. For more info, you can go to our website, wildmichiganradio.com. There's a link right to the Woods and Water Weekend website. But right now, as mentioned, as promised, 65 years, Darton Archery has been around, and we have got Ted Harpum on the phone with me right now. He is kind of the do-all man at Darton Archery. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Duran. Thanks for having me on this morning. Darton Archery, it's we've been in business for 65 years. And, you know, one of the things that is one of the few archery companies today that can say they've been in business in the archery industry with the same ownership for 65 years. So it's very cool. We only build bows here up in Hale, Michigan. We don't do accessories. We don't do broadheads. We don't do anything else. We just build really good, probably some of the world's best quality hunting and target bows in the industry.
You know, and that's what we've noticed too. We've seen the quality firsthand, and now we're very fortunate to be involved with Darton Archery, a great Michigan company. 65 years, not too many places. Only one other company I know that's been around that long, and we had the pleasure with working them earlier. But now we're working with you guys here in Michigan. And give us a little background how this all started.
Well, Rex started with his father back in, 1950, and it just kind of grew from there. And they were in the more of an accessory, the leather business to start out, and then they started building bows in the basement of another business that they owned in Flint. And it grew and grew and grew until they were, building compound bows, or starting with the traditional bows, the recurve bows, and then into compound bows. And then, Rex moved up to Hale, Michigan, and opened up the factory up here and the plant up here. And it's just been nothing but great success for his years of being in the business. He holds multiple patents in the industry, probably holds more patents than anybody in the industry. If people happen to get online and look, you can actually go into our catalog, and we even have a list of them. It takes an entire page of some of the most prominent patents in the industry as far as cam technology goes. So we do a lot of work with a lot of companies, and a lot of companies use our technology. So it's fun to see some of the things that are happening now, because people are finally starting to realize this, and they're saying, wow, this cam and a half, and this dual sync cam system, and the binary systems, these are all cams that come from Darton Archery.
And that's funny too, because there have been companies out there that market themselves to no end. But you know what? The simplicity, the basics of everything started here in Michigan, and people need to know that.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. That's something that look, everybody knows that Fred Bear lived here for a long time, made his name here in Grayling with Bear Archery. Of course, Fred originally from Pennsylvania, but this Darton product is Michigan unique, and so many of the patents. And unfortunately, not too much research is done when people go to look for a bow.
Exactly.
And this is where we're going to help them.
Well, they see what's out there, they see the print, and as you keep seeing things over and over and over and over and over, and guys are spending, that's what's kind of drove the price up on these bows so much, is that they're spending millions of dollars trying to get people to buy this bow with multiple magazines and TV shows and things that are very, very expensive. And people see it. We always tell them, make sure you put the bow in your hand. Take it for a test drive. You don't buy a car without taking it for a test drive. Don't spend $1,000 on a bow without taking it for a test drive. Don't believe everything you read. Put it in your hand. Make sure it feels good. We've been around an awful long time. Our fit and finish is very, very good. We've been known for years as a hunting bow company. And just in the last couple of years here now, even though we've had a few target bows, we've really stepped up the game in the target archery end of things and also in the youth end of things. You know, we're building stuff. We're now involved with the Scholastic 3D program, which is a huge youth program that's going. And we've got the Vegas and the Executive, which are brand new shoot-through risers. And this is a true shoot-through riser. This thing is, it's a perfectly balanced shooting system. We actually split the cables and shoot directly down the center of these bows. So the center shot is spot on every time. And some of the advantages of having that is, number one, the tunability, as well as the shootability, and the fatigue syndrome. You guys are telling me today that this bow aims and points and shoots so well, they're shooting their last five targets as fresh as the first five targets because they don't have to hold as long.
You know, and that's, I've not done a lot of target shooting, especially on a competition level. You know, majority of what I've done has been 3D or to sight in, but that center shot is so unique and so different for somebody that's never seen something like that before. And you're not shooting, people don't realize that you're not shooting 70 pounds when it comes to target either.
Exactly. Yeah, these bows, you know, the most popular bow out there today in the target end for us is 50 pounders. Now, we build our bows, with a lot of energy and our cam system and things, the way they're designed, you don't need to shoot a lot of really heavy weights to get the performance that you're looking for. So we sell more 50s than we do 70s, and 60 falls into a pretty good range on the hunting bow line, but it does a very, very good job.
Now, for somebody looking for a new bow, people look at IBO speeds and print, and they don't, and we make this point every time we talk about it, is because IBO speed is an unrealistic speed when it comes to hunting purposes.
Well, you know, people market a lot of their bows. You'll see bows out there that are called, you know, the X400 or this, you know, the 360 or whatever, and they correlate that to the speed of the bow. Well, that's under, you know, factory trained technicians that are set up to shoot this bow at the maximum capacity that it can shoot, the lightest arrow it can shoot. And if you read some of the fine print on this stuff, most of these bows are being shot that are shooting these fantastic speeds are shooting a very, very light arrow. So if you're going out there and you're under a hunting situation, and I always like to be over-grained on stuff, you know, if it's 5 grains per pound, 30-inch draw, 70-pound draw weight, if you're shooting under that 5 grains, I mean, you're really looking for trouble if you're in a hunting situation, I feel. It'd be fast, but it's certainly not going to be as effective as far as stored energy and being able to have a lot of kinetic energy at the end.
Absolutely. Ted Harpham from Darton Archery is our guest. There's a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Directly on the front page of the website is where you can find Ted and find all of the great stuff at Darton Archery. And of course, Ted, we're going to talk about this a little bit, is some of the bows that you have coming up. We'll do that in the next segment. But again, for people looking for archery equipment right now, look, if it's important as to where your bow comes from, Darton, of course, Michigan made. And, you know, and it's important to know, too, that the economy, everything's staying here.
Right. These bows are being manufactured by hunters for hunters. And these guys really take pride. If you come up to our factory and you watch, I mean, every limb is hand-sanded. Everything is handy-burred. We're double-checking, rechecking, making sure, and Rex and his engineering team with Kim and Dave, their tolerances are so, so tight. When people see how this bow is actually manufactured and done, if they ever had a chance to, they would be amazed at what goes into making one of these bows. And you'd mentioned a little earlier that the Woods and Water Show is coming up.
Sure.
And around the state of Michigan and through a lot of the states through the north here, we do have the Darton Shooting Trailer out there. And we will be at Woods and Water. We'll be there. You can come in, take one for a test drive. You know, we encourage people, you know, don't go out and buy the first thing you see or read. Come out and, you know, and test them. Check them all out. See what you think.
Absolutely. We're going to do that. We'll be there. Woods and Water Weekend coming up September 11th through the 13th in Imlay City. We'll be there. Darton Archery will be there. And Wild Michigan, of course, will be there.
Oh, friend Ben, I'm glad to have you at my side, my friend. And I've torn you in the big hunt before too long. Before too long.
Hey, this is Nick Mike. Munch of Michael Waddell's Bone Collector, and you're listening to my main man, Duran Martinez, on Wild Michigan.
Rifle in a gun rack, hanging in the back blast, buck knife on my belt, ain't no lamp for sale. Around here.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, brought to you in part by HHA Sports. As we get ready, we're getting ready to celebrate our ninth anniversary coming up September 30th. And we, if you've looked on our Facebook page, facebook.com/Wild Michigan, you've noticed that we've got something we're going to be giving away. We want to get a bunch of things to give away, but the first thing we'll be doing is giving away an HHA Optimizer Light Kingpin Sight. Beautiful, awesome site, and we'll be giving that away here coming up very soon, so watch our Facebook page for the announcement. But we're getting back to Ted Harpum from Dart and Archery right now. 65 years in the industry, and of course, we have got lots of things going on. We got archery season coming up October 1st, and something that has really taken hold here in Michigan, but not the way that so many people thought it was going to take hold. I mean, self included. I thought the crossbow was going to be different, as in everybody dropping their bows and going to crossbows. But you know what? I was wrong on that. I'll admit it here on the show. What I am excited is the opportunity to get new people outdoors, or people that have been left out of the outdoors of bow season, to be able to get out there now with crossbows. And Darton, you guys, Ted, have a wonderful line of crossbows, and it just keeps getting better.
Well, thank you, Duran. I know we worked really, really hard on the crossbow stuff, and back in the early 90s when we Rexed and these guys developed the first crossbows, they've just come light years. And, you know, you're right. We want to get the youth out there. We want to get, the handicapped, disabled people back out in the woods again, wounded warriors, all of these guys that aren't able to use traditional archery equipment, and they can go back now and pick up a crossbow and be back out there hunting. I mean, we see a lot of young adults that we're trying to encourage to get in the woods, and now they've got the youth season set up. They got all the stuff, and we carry an amazing youth bows. I mean, our Ranger and our Recruit, and now we have a new one coming out for 2016, which is phenomenal. But, you know, these kids have to be able to pull 30 to 40 pounds, mm-hmm. and you're not always able to do that. So this is where the crossbow really fits in and fills that bill. It gets them the opportunity. They can make a quick, humane shot on that animal and harvest it quickly, and it just really works out well. Some of the new models that we've got for 2015 is our new Rebel 135SS. And this bow has actually kind of taken the whole crossbow industry kind of by storm. It's a 13.5-inch power stroke. So you can imagine that, Duran. It's a short power stroke. But we've used a bullpup design at 180 pounds. This bow weighs 7 pounds. It's only 17-inch axle-to-axle and 12 inches when it's cocked. So what that does, it gives everybody an opportunity to use this bow any way they want. They can sit in a ground blind, not have to worry about hitting the windows. They can sit in a tree. They don't have to worry about hitting the limbs or the tree around them. It's very, very easy to carry in the woods. So when you're going through the bush, you don't have, you know, the limbs sticking out beyond your shoulders if you put, you know, you run a shoulder strap over a sling. So it's and ultimately, the best part about our bows is the safety features. We have the best safety features in the entire industry. We have the best finger protection. You'll see people say, oh, you got to be careful not to get your fingers. You will not get that up inside on a Darton crossbow. We've got the anti-dry fire, ambidextrous safety. Our triggers are amazing. It is as close to a gun trigger as you're going to find. And ultimately, when you get ready to use this crossbow, the biggest thing is being able to cock it. Rex and these guys and Dave and Kim have designed this bow so all of our crossbows cock very, very easy. As you keep pulling the string back, when you're using a cocking rope, it gets easier as it goes. So as that cam rolls around, and you'll notice this in the pictures if you get on our website or watch any of them, the guys shooting, as that cam rolls, the bowstring coming back will get easier and easier and easier until it gets into the string latch.
You know, and I've noticed that. I've shot that Rebel, and I really, really kind of fell in love with it. As odd as that sounds, as much grief as I'm going to get from my friends, I cannot wait to get in the ground blind with a crossbow this year and maybe do some fall turkey hunting. Or, you know, if you get the opportunity to get that deer to come through, you know, to maybe try this out, you know, and see what I've been missing, or at least what I've been hearing about for so long. I'm still going to shoot my vertical bows. I absolutely love shooting vertical. There's no question about that whatsoever.
Well, you know, Duran, I've always said since I've started at Darton Archery, which is in excess of 10 years now, it's weapon of choice. You know, I have multiple guns, which I don't shoot very much anymore, but, you know, I've got multiple calibers for different types of animals, different types of hunting, different positions that I'm in. If I'm in a tight area, a lot of times I'll use a shotgun. If I'm not, I'll use, you know, a rifle if I'm just going out further. So I use my compound bow. I love shooting my compound bow. But when it gets cold and it's frigid and I'm in an area that I can't have a lot of movement, and that I use my crossbow.
You know, and that's true, too, because this is going to extend my season because, look, our good friend Tom Nelson, which we've talked to, we'll be talking to on the show today, you know, your body goes through this cool-down period and your muscles get stiff. And no matter how much you've drew back your bow in the summertime, your body acts differently. You're not able to pull that back. And I love bow hunting, especially in the latter part of the year. And this will probably extend my season a little bit more than normal.
Oh, it absolutely will. And, you know, there's a lot of factors to take into from shooting at a foam target or even a deer silhouette that you're target shooting on to sitting in a tree stand or sitting on a ground blind. You know, even when I see that first doe come through or I see another animal there, my heart starts, you know, racing a little faster. And then if I decide, you know, this could be an animal that I'm going to harvest, now it really starts going. So everything kind of changes. So you want to have something that you're able to make that good, clean harvest and not have to struggle with it, and a crossbow just seems to fit that bill really, really well in the fall seasons when it gets really colder, November, December, January hunts. And then, you know, with the youth and the disabled people and people that just, you know, my father, God bless him, when he was alive, he loved to shoot a compound bow, and he shot a recurve for years, but his last few years, he wasn't able to pull that bow back anymore, and he knew his limitations.
Sure.
So, you know, he moved to a crossbow.
Absolutely. Ted Harpham is our guest with Dart and Archery here. DartandArchery.com is their website. There's a link on our website, WildMichiganRadio.com. Ted, real quickly, I love the short axle-to-axle bows. I always have. Always been more comfortable with a shorter bow. And the DS-700 SD, that's the bow I picked, man. Oh, and I've shot it. I love that thing.
It is absolutely one of our flagship bows when it comes to hunters. This bow has a brand new cam system on it, and I'm not even sure you know this yet, but it has what they call the helix let-out groove. This is a groove that Rex put into the side of the cam, which absolutely spreads all of the weight across the axle evenly, 100%. So there is zero cam lean. It is absolutely a smooth drawing. It's very, very fast. Shorter axle-to-axle, like you said. Runs a 7-inch brace height, so it's very, very forgiving, and the hunters absolutely love that bow. It's a real hit.
Yeah, it's I'm a big fan of the shorter bows. I always have been, and that's why I picked this one. And I noticed the cam lean issue that this was eliminating that, and I thought that was very important. You don't get a lot of and there's no hand shock in this bow either, even without, you know, the accessories.
Right, you'll see that Dart and Archery. We don't put a lot of you know, noise suppressant systems in, and we don't put a lot of stuff. We put the limb savers in the limbs just to keep the limbs spread. They're really not designed there to be there to quiet it down any, because of the way the bow is designed. But, you know, a 30-inch axle-to-axle bow shooting 335-plus feet per second, only weighing 4 pounds, and it goes from, you know, 40 to 70 pounds with 80% let-off. This is an ideal hunting bow, Durand.
Absolutely. Ted Harpham, Dart and Archery, appreciate you joining us. Get that link off of our website, WildMichiganRadio.com.
You can join us on Facebook or listen to podcasts, all from our website at WildMichiganRadio.com. Now, back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Cross the line at an altitude time, in a state 94 more miles through the Great Lakes State. Turn it up so the bus ain't late. Another night in Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. Thanks so much to Ted Harpham of Dart and Archery for bringing us up to speed on what's going on with the Michigan-based company. And of course, if you're looking for bows, man, people are out looking right now. It's that last minute thing. You got to get prepared for bow season because, wow, surprise, October 1st is coming up. And people want to maybe switch into a new bow or a new crossbow. We suggest that you find, first and foremost, what works for you. And then also we can consider Dart and Archery, Michigan made. So that's our spiel. We love our Michigan products. We love our Lucky Buck as well. Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, been with us here for 3 years. Very happy to have them on board. And also on board, MUCC, Michigan United Conservation Clubs, joining us. And Drew Youngdyke, you're becoming a very regular feature here on the show, which is good because we need to keep in contact with what's going on around the state, both legal and environmental, and something kind of could fall into both areas. You were telling me a little bit about aquaculture in Michigan, and for those like myself that are kind of new to this whole term and the possibilities of what could it be, could you explain what the possibilities for the Great Lakes are for aquaculture?
You bet. So as we mentioned before, coming up on September 9th, we have the Camo at the Capitol rally. And one of the issues that we're going to be focusing on there is something that we're concerned could create some negative impacts for the Great Lakes sport fishery. And that's cage culture, which is a form of aquaculture, where basically they do a fish farm out in the middle of the lake. And just to be really clear, it's not about aquaculture itself. There's really a right way and a wrong way to do it, or I guess I should say a right way and a risky way. You know, there's closed system aquaculture where basically they have a big pool and raise the fish there. We have no problem with that. There's temporary net pens that the DNR does where they'll put them at the mouth of lakes to raise fingerlings where they're just there for a little bit. What we're more concerned with is some proposals to put large cage culture more permanent pens in the Great Lakes, because then what you're doing is you're concentrating fish in one area, you know, fish poop, that's only the only way to put it. And when you put that all in one place, you create a lot of extra nutrients that could create, you know, those small algae growths there that are really localized. You put the risk of those captive fish, those pen-raised fish, escaping and breeding with wild fish, making those wild fish less able to compete. Sometimes those captive fish are even able to outcompete, you know, wild fish. And that's something that we're worried about, too. You know, we're spending all this money trying to keep Asian carp out of the Great Lakes for that exact reason, is that Asian carp would outcompete the wild sport fish that are there. That's one of the concerns with escapement from net pens. But there's a risk of them spreading fish disease. There's a risk of antibiotics from the pen fish getting into wild fish. And when we talk about the sport fishery of Michigan, we're talking about a $7 billion industry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what are we going to risk that for? We have over, you know, 600 charter boats out there that are taking people on Great Lakes sport fishing tours. You know, each one of those has a captain and a first mate. So you're talking about thousands of jobs that could be put at risk, or the one or two or just a handful of jobs that might be connected to one of these you know, cage culture, open water, Great Lakes pens. So we have some real concerns about that. They've got a science panel out kind of studying this, and we kind of want to raise our concerns now before they get so far down the line that they can't put the brakes on it.
Yeah, that happens a lot, it seems. when it comes to the Great Lakes, you know, it's never an issue until it becomes an issue. You know, we look at this thing with the Asian carp way back when. It started in Arkansas when these fish were brought in for cleaning on fish farms. All of a sudden, you get some flooding. They get in the Mississippi, and they're coming towards the Great Lakes. And all of a sudden, whoa, maybe we need to do something about it here. Well, it should have been done a long time ago. And this is why I'm glad to see there's a proactive approach to this. Now, my question with this aquaculture, who would be the people that are trying to implement this use inside the Great Lakes? Is it companies growing for producing product for our freezers and whatnot? Or is it other means, other people that are doing this for other benefits?
You know, it would be for food. And that's where the tough part of it comes in, and what they keep saying is, you know, there's 6 billion people in the world and they need to eat. Well, that's true. And it's becoming more prevalent that farm-raised fish is the way that people are eating. And there's nothing wrong with that. And what we're saying is that there's a right way to grow those fish and a way that puts the Great Lakes fisheries at risk. And we prefer them to see it done the right way. And that's really what these closed systems are called. And that's where you do a big pool. They have, you know, water that recycles through. it costs a little bit more for them to do the startup to make sure that they're doing it in a way that protects the Great Lakes fisheries. You also have to worry about some of the inland river systems. So, for instance, there's a proposal for a pass-through aquaculture facility on the Asabo River, and now you're putting one of those world-class trout fisheries at risk there with effluent, and especially when you're talking about a cold water species like trout that require clean, cold water, when you're putting extra nutrients and warming up the water, and that can create a risk there. So what we're really talking about is the risk to these large-scale commercial open water systems where they're openly connected to Great Lakes or inland freshwater fisheries. Grow the fish, but do it in a way that's protective of the Great Lakes fisheries.
Speaking with Drew Youngdyke from MUCC. Drew, why is it always the Great Lakes the first option for anything? You know, California's without water. Hey, take it from the Great Lakes. Arizona needs something, you know, put it in the Great Lakes. 20% of the world's fresh water, I get it. Maybe I'm just a little greedy with what our resources are.
You know, that's absolutely right. You know, we have a tremendous asset in the natural resources and water natural resources with the Great Lakes. Anytime you have an asset, other people want that asset. You know, so, you know, people that don't have water want that water. People that don't have a place to raise fish, or they have a place to raise fish, but it costs them a little bit more to do it safely, they look at this as just, you know, a big piece of water that they can stick some fish in without probably enough due concern for the existing ecosystem that provides the fish that we all like to catch that's already there. So, you know, Michigan is uniquely positioned to make sure that we conserve those Great Lakes water resources. You know, other states may border a lake or two. We've got just about all of them. I think there's a great tourist shirt that says 4 out of 5 Great Lakes prefer Michigan. So, you know, but that means that it's our responsibility to make sure that we're keeping not just the water there, the abundance of water, but that we're protecting those fisheries there. And, you know, as conservationists, as hunters and anglers, that's always got to be our first concern.
It is, and it's not just species-specific anglers either, bass anglers. This affects everybody, you know, not just the walleye anglers, the salmon anglers, the trout anglers, the bass anglers. You know, this affects us all, and you know, I have preached ad nauseum this whole thing about being a collective voice, not just a selective voice.
Right, and I don't want to be one of those alarmists that say, if this goes in, everything's going to be ruined. But what we're talking about is by degrees. You know, if this goes in, we're going to degrade the fishery in that area. And is that the direction that we want to go? You know, everything we do, there's very few individual things that we're going to do that are going to ruin everything at once. But it's a matter of degrees. Do we chip away at the fishery? Do we chip away at our hunting rights? Do we chip away at the habitat, or do we protect that? And that's really what it comes down to. So it's a matter of what kind of risk are you willing to see, and we're not really willing to risk the Great Lakes fisheries for really just a handful of jobs, because we've got a whole lot more jobs riding on those fisheries.
Absolutely. We've got Drew Youngdyke on the line, MUCC, joining us here. You're listening to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. MUCC, one of our proud sponsors here on Wild Michigan, as is Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, lucky-buck.com. Check them out online. Check them out on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. More coming your way next here on the Michigan Talk Network.
This is Owen O'Hagan of ClareVirtually.ie inviting you to fish County Clare, Ireland. Now back to Duran Martinez and Wild Michigan.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez here on the Michigan Talk Network. So glad to have everybody here. Thanks to Costa Sunglasses. New gear. We got some new gear. We're going to be giving away some new gear as we approach our 9th anniversary here on the Michigan Talk Network. Costa, our sunglass sponsor. See what's out there with Costa. And I tell you what, they made the trip to Ireland with us, and Well, we didn't really have much sunshine, and the water clarity was a little difficult, but the sunglasses were awesome, and so happy to have them on board. And, you know, they've made the trip to Ireland with us, and we'll be doing more fishing here pretty soon, as it seems on Monday after the Bassmaster Elite Series that's going on this weekend at Lake St. Clair. We'll be out there angling with some of the pros and some of our legislators on Monday. We'll have a full report and pictures and everything up on the website at wildmichiganradio.com and instant info at facebook.com/wildmichigan. Back to Drew Youngdyke from MUCC. On the Ground is one of their programs. Drew, recently you guys did a rabbitat, and I just like saying that word, rabbitat. But, you know, it's important to have habitats for rabbits because in some of the areas I hunt, you know, they're kind of scarce, but I really, really like hunting rabbits. And this is where you guys get together and you put some habitat out. And On the Ground is a program that is doing all kinds of habitat clearing and cleaning and creating.
Well, I appreciate that. And really, it's all about the volunteers that show up. We've had, I think, over 350 volunteers this year already. And we have more projects coming up. So I want to let everybody know we've got another project coming up at the Allegan State Game Area on September 26th. You can sign up for that at mucc.org/on the ground. What we're going to be doing there is actually keeping a fairly rare coastal marsh clear for wood duck habitat. And all that means is you got some timber encroaching on this kind of wetland marsh. And to keep it open, we're just going to cut that timber down. So that's going to be pretty fun and sack that into some of those rabbitat brush piles. So we encourage people to sign up for that. You know, this is a program that's supported by the DNR Wildlife Habitat Grants, by the Saginaw Bay Watershed Initiative Network, and it's really just an opportunity for hunters and anglers to show everybody out there what we do for wildlife habitat in a very hands-on way.
You know, and I think, too, when people participate in these on-the-ground projects, and it not only gives them a sense of pride that they've done something, but it gives them a little bit more education as to how they can do things on their own.
That's right. You know, you learn techniques that you can apply. Say, if you've got, you know, some hunting property, you learn techniques that you can apply there to improve the game habitat there. Not only that, but we do all these projects on public land. And if you didn't already know about it, when you go do these projects, you now know of a new great public land area to hunt, and you know that the habitat is good there because you helped make it good. So it also is very good for off-season scouting because not only do you know what's out there, but you help create it.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and public land, of course, gets used by everyone, and it's I think to have that insider info on a piece of property, it could be really helpful and beneficial to hunters of all kinds.
That's right. And of course, the projects that we do, we generally target game species, but pretty much any habitat you do, it's going to benefit not just game species, but non-game species too. So for instance, when we do these rabbitat brush piles, you know, we're taking out trees that would be better off on the ground. So we're improving the habitat that way. We're then taking those trees and making cover for game animals, but also for small birds and small non-game animals as well. So we're improving it that way. A lot of times we're taking out a type of tree that's non-native or invasive, so we're helping the habitat that way. So it's really helping the habitat in multiple different ways for multiple different species.
You know, and the thing I like about this too, Drew, is, you know, as much as I love the outdoors, as much as I get out, I guess identifying species of plants, of the flora, if you will, has never been my strong suit, aside from the obvious hardwoods and certain undergrowth and things of that nature. But to identify species that are invasive is kind of something that I probably couldn't do.
Right, and there's a great, actually, new application for that. We talked about that a few weeks ago at that frogbit pool, is the Michigan Invasive Species Information Network app. You can go on there. If you know, as long as you're connected, you can look up what the different invasive species look like and register where it is, so professionals can come along behind you and clean it up and take it out later.
Absolutely, and there are some species, of course, you really have to be careful with. That hogweed making its appearance again this year. Of course, it's ginormous. You cannot miss it, but it can be very toxic to humans as well.
Right. You know, so that's one of those ones that we've got to look out for. At the Colson Marsh clearing, I don't think those are really the invasive species. Those are really just ones that we want to keep that kind of rare coastal marsh clear. But we'll have plenty of projects coming up both this year and next year as well. So if you keep coming back to mucc.org/on the ground, then you're going to see kind of all the projects that are coming up near you. We've actually revamped our website to make it easier to sign up and find those projects as well.
Drew Youngdyke, MUCC, is joining us here. Of course, Camo at the Capitol is coming up, and I just made my official registration. Of course, I said on Facebook I was coming, but you know, the official registration, so you know I'll be there, is now been entered. But for those who are not aware of Camo at the Capitol, or Camo at the Capitol, rather, give us some more another update on that, if you would, please.
Sure. So as I mentioned, we're going to be talking to our legislators about how we want to make sure that any aquaculture done in Michigan protects our public trust and freshwater fisheries. We're going to be talking about keeping public land in public hands. You know, as we're out there enhancing it with habitat, we want to make sure that land that's been managed and purchased with game and fish funds remains open for hunting and fishing and a quality place to do those activities. We're going to be actually pushing two pieces of legislation that came out of our convention this year. One of them is this poaching package that increases penalties for poaching multiple species. That's going to be in committee, so we're going to get folks there to line up to testify in support of it. And I want to see, like, the whole room packed with people wearing blaze orange hats when we pass that. And that really just goes to show that it's always hunters that are looking out to crack down on poaching. And we've been doing that from the beginning. And then we're also going to be advocating for better private land hunting access by removing the unnecessary safety zone restrictions for things like archery and trapping and hounding, when those restrictions were really just put in for firearm hunting.
Absolutely. And the data on that, again, Camo at the Capitol coming up here in September.
Yep, September 9th, and as the title suggests, at the Capitol in Lansing. And you can register for that at mucc.org as well.
All right. All those links are on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Drew Youngdyke, as always, man, we appreciate it. What else is going on in your world? Anything that you want to share with us?
I'll be honest. I'm just getting really geeked up about bow season coming up in a little over a month. You know, once the 15th hits, I'm going to be out there after squirrels. But I've been shooting my bow every day, been doing a little running, trying to get in better shape for hunting season. And I'm kind of a bow hunting geek, so I just can't wait for that.
No, me too, man. I'm looking forward to getting out and get a new bow this year. And we're going to see what the Darton 700 has to offer this year, which I already know. I've shot it a bunch of times. Absolutely love it. Looking forward to doing that. And, of course, just getting outdoors, being a part of what's out there here in Michigan is an absolute must for me. We got early goose season coming up, early teal season coming up. Small game, by gosh, do not forget small game opening up on September 15th. Bear season going on here in Michigan. This is that magical time of year. The steelhead will be running. I'm actually, you know, I'm getting out of that summer lull because I get in that and it's bad. And this year, it's hit worse than ever. But now,
and I've got a fall turkey tag for September 15th too. But you know, I'm not going to make any guesses about how successful I'll actually be there. But I have a mean recipe for buffalo style squirrel. If anybody's interested.
Nice. The interest, I think my daughter might would go in. She's into buffalo style anything, so the buffalo style squirrel would work out well. But man, it's definitely that time of year that I'm starting to get out of that, like I said, that summer lull. It's behind me, and I think it hit me worse this year than ever. But I'm really looking forward to getting out this year, and thanks again. You can check out everybody at MUCC, mucc.org. A link is on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. Drew, as always, man, I appreciate you joining us here on the show.
Thank you, Duran.
All right, so much more coming your way. We're going to speak to the American archer, Tom Nelson, in the next hour of the show. Get some tips for hanging tree stands, putting out trail cameras, cleaning your lanes, getting them ready for October 1st. That way, the scent and everything is left behind, and it dissipates by that time you get ready to go back out there. Thanks to Darton Archery, MUCC, Lucky Buck Deer Mineral, also Costa Sunglasses, and HHA Sports. Links to all those fine folks on our website, wildmichiganradio.com.